둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
My iPad has been glitching. So I was like, damn, is it updating? What's going on?
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making me here for checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please don't forget to give a review and a rating wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests drop by lately, including director Paul Feig, who this time was talking about The Housemaid, the movie he directed starring Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried. We talked with the band The Runarounds, who also star in the Prime video series. Darcy Carden, she's got a great character on the latest season of Loot on Apple TV. Juliana Hatfield was here to discuss her 20th album, Lightning Might Strike. Lou Graham, lead singer of Foreigner. We also talked to the Fraggles, well, Gobo Fraggle of Fraggle Rock, and John Tartaglia, Sarah Bareilles, Gaydon Matarazzo from Stranger Things, Felicity Jones, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with Ayana Lee. She's one of those artists who seemed to show up fully formed, but with enough mystery to maybe keep us leaning in. She's been dropping some singles over the past few years, and then in 2025 came Highest to Lowest, the latest Spike Lee joint. In fact, it was Spike Lee who found her on Instagram, reached out and said, I want you to audition for my movie that I'm doing, sort of about the music industry. It's also a heist movie as well, a kidnapping movie. But she gets to play this musician on there and just totally stills the scene that she's in. We get to talk about having Spike Lee reach out and say, hey, let's collaborate. In fact, they collaborated on a couple songs for the soundtrack. Wrote together, he gave lots of notes, so we're going to be talking about that, and styles, and her upbringing. She's got a mom who's a 17-time platinum songwriter. She's got family in the Temptations. So we're going to hear about that and a whole lot more as we get into Highest to Lowest and all of her career. Let's do this. It's Kyle Meredith with Ayanna Lee.
I love the background.
Thank you. They seem to do the heavy lifting for me most interviews right here. It's like regardless of what's going on here, at least this is happening. So
it's a huge flex. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's it.
Just staring at you too. It's like very direct.
It's keeping the angels over my shoulder, you know.
Right.
Again, it's such a pleasure to meet you and congratulate you. What a hell of a year you're having right now.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't quite believe it myself.
let's get a bit of the story here. So you'd been releasing music, at least that we've been hearing, for the past 5 years or so. And then this year arrives and you end up in Spike Lee's newest, called Highest to Lowest.
Yes.
How did you get involved in the movie?
Well, like all things in my life, feels very atypical to how it comes about for anybody else. But he DM'd me on Instagram and found me on Instagram from a song that I had written in my bedroom called My Idols Lied to Me, after coming out of like a record deal where the company literally got sold. And so I was on the brink of homelessness pretty much around the time when I met Spike. And so, you know, he DM'd me on Instagram and I believe it was like 6 a.m. and I was like, no way, like this is definitely not the real Spike Lee. Saw the verification, it was like definitely a fan bought this, and it's like someone's tricking me, there's some trickery going on. And I woke my mom up and she was like, girl, go back to sleep, like this is not this is not real, darling. Don't know how to tell you. And turned out to be real. I met him that very same day. It's crazy he happened to be in LA that day. And I met with him, and the rest is history.
Wait, and it's because this ends up some of the plot of the movie, not of your character specifically,
yeah,
but the way, you know, the character David, King David, just shows up sometimes like that. Like,
yes, very, very, it felt very parallel to my experience in the music industry as well, because I had been through, you know, that same situation Sula goes through performing in front of King David, right? I've had that exact, like, to a T experience with a record label executive, and I got signed that way in one of my first record deals. So, and to see Denzel in that role as well, and his amplification of that in the sense of his energy is so, it's huge. He's a superstar, and him in that role especially was so close to what I had been faced with a few years ago, probably when I was 18 or so.
So the movie is kind of a pretty real representation, you know, in a Hollywood sort of way still, but of how the music industry can be, or has it been for you?
Yeah, and also just the themes of, you know, AI being so dominant, and, you know, I guess the manufactured, sometimes it's not just AI, sometimes it's people being manufactured too, right? So it's that contrived corporate, this is what's going to sell, versus why don't we look at the heart of humanity and the heart of songwriting and see that there's also a gap and a market for that as well.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of brought up your mom, and you know, that part of your story, of course, like she's a, what was it, 17-time
Time class
platinum singer.
songwriter.
And I only bring that up because as you're talking about the authenticity, like growing up around, and the Temptations are part of your family too, growing
Yeah.
up when you have these people that you know, your whole life has been songwriting adjacent in some way,
Oh, yeah.
like when you're talking about authenticity, I guess is what I'm getting to. Like, how do you keep something so authentic when you've got all of history and the industry right there over your shoulder
Oh my goodness. I
as a
think
songwriter?
that's a good one. I think for me, it was easy because I was raised to be that way. I was really raised to be able to be fearless in the exploration of just being myself. And I think growing up, I was always encouraged to just do what I want to do and express how I feel. And that really came into play with songwriting. I think I naturally kind of gravitated towards it, and it became a diary entry for me. I was like severely bullied in school, like severe, like beaten up, had to change schools many, many times. I was a bit chubbier, but I was confident with it though. And I don't think anyone liked that I was a confident chubby girl. But I was super bullied, and you know, I think that was the first some of my first kind of like songs being written about the experiences I had gone through. And I think I did a remix of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star when I was 3 too, but that's another story. That's another story.
That's a strong song, though. It's a good hook in that song.
Look, it's timeless.
It's timeless for a reason, right?
People talking about it today. But it's true. It's the exploration of being a songwriter just felt like the exploration of, you know, me, you know. And I think after my previous label deal, I kind of like took that year to really write and get to the heart of everything because I didn't feel like I could or was taken seriously doing it in that situation, or at least putting it to the forefront. You know, I would co-write my songs, but no one would really like care.
And we'll be right back right after this.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high flying dunks, 100 years of show stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ayanna Lee. And I talk to a lot of artists about like the tools that, you know, you have your tool belts as a songwriter. And I guess that, you know, that was part of the question too, is because when you are raised around these people who have a large tool belt, like how often were you kind of able to use that as a, you know, to throw those questions out? And I, you know, it's because whether it's learning to write a hook, you know, how to structure a song, I mean, just all of these different things, like you sort of, did you have that at your disposal when you needed it?
I think the structuring of it was just like absorbing what I had seen, right, growing up. And I had listened to so much music and so many types of music. And my mom always kept something playing. And obviously, like both sides of my family were very into music. And having that kind of background, I think, allowed me to have the full scope of what that is and what that structure looks like. And I think even throughout time, I've kind of played with that, what that means, you know, because I feel like there are no rules in music, as much as we like to say that there are, and it's evolving and it should evolve. And yeah, I feel like that's what I kind of did with Idols, and everyone's like, the structure is kind of like, and then it feels like the purpose is the chorus, and then this is here. And I was like, you know what? I didn't think about it consciously when I was writing it, but it was cool to see that people kind of dissected it. I think for me, it's hard to dissect art. Personally, I feel like I'm such a person that goes off of feeling. but there's no wrong way to go about it.
Sure. And you get those in the two songs that you do on this soundtrack, To Highest and Lowest too. Like, I think I remember reading like the part of the story about the title track was a note from Spike about something about the chorus. I'll let you tell it.
God, I'm trying to think. What story is this?
Is this because did I read it right about not repeating the same line? Because that's sort of what most people think you do in a chorus.
So, yes, I see. That's such a great example, because for me, I was going into it like, oh, we're just going to repeat the first chorus. I was like, oh, now we're gonna repeat the same structure, it's gonna be cool, we're gonna have it be catchy, memorable, da 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 da. He's like, no, we're going to change the lyrics every single time. And I was like, okay, we're gonna have to dive in on this, we're gonna have to sharpen the pen. We're gonna have to tell this story in its entirety. And it gave me space to tell it in a really full way. Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, and that's the important moments when whatever the rule is, do the opposite.
Basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like we kind of threw out the window, and it took 10 songs to get there. Like, me and Spike, we were on the phone every day, and I think I had an idea of what he wanted, but the idea sometimes is not hitting it on the nose. And so he's so meticulous, and I love that. He's just incredibly meticulous and loves music. And, you know, we ended up with something so soulful that my mom actually wrote the initial chords to. So she came up with the first chords that I wrote to. And so it was just an incredibly collaborative experience.
10 songs. What do you do with the rest of them?
Man, it's an album in my computer right now. full of Spike Lee joints, and who knows, maybe one day I'll release them. They're really good songs, just wasn't fitting for that scene in that moment.
I mean are these like completely finished? Do you still have to finish them? I mean, do you want to release? Is that part of the plan?
I mean, maybe. I feel like some of them, yeah, they're just very, they're more in the ballad space. They're very ballady, which is what I thought it was going to be. But it ended up being a soulful, like, slightly faster groove than the other ones, and more storytelling. Yeah.
Sometimes we still do, but especially in the golden age of soundtracks, you'd have the soundtrack, and then you'd have a second one that was music inspired by
totally.
The movie. Wasn't in the movie, but it's music inspired.
Oh, that's, right. Yeah.
Low that's the album right there. This is the music inspired by Highest to Lowest.
I love that. You know what? You might have to be my manager after this. Great ideas.
I'm just the consultant. So just my consultant. That's it. It's a much easier job. A lot less weight.
Yeah, exactly. See,
but that's an interesting seg too, because the other song that you release this year, City of Lies, I mean, speaking of management, because there's a line in there.
Jeez.
That's like, well, this is a story.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was definitely wondering if I should release it or not, because it was very kind of bold and graphic, and I was like, oh, that's why I probably should release it, isn't it? It was kind of, for me, like that song particularly was me closing my previous chapter. It felt like, okay, I'm letting go of what I've been through, that's there. And this is explaining to my fans or whoever's watching, look, this is what I've gone through, and this is why I have disappeared for a year. Like, literally, I was not able to release music for a while. You know, a lot of people are like, where's the music? It's like, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that kind of can prevent you from doing what you just want to do. And it's not for lack of having the music. It's for, you know, the powers that be, the upper peeps in the building not wanting to. So I just felt like after getting out of that, I wanted to just quickly release something just for my peeps to see where I've been through, what I've been through, and hopefully give some hope for them as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a well done song on top of this.
Oh, thank you.
Because and it is. I mean, one, it's catchy and the music's great, but the story you're telling, like I'm the kind of listener that maybe it takes a few times for me to really hear the lyrics. You know, I'm a rhythm and melody first kind of.
Definitely.
But that's one of those songs where you're just hanging on to every word the first time.
Thank you.
And then, of course, yes, you do get to some of those lines, like the one about the manager. Is it you say right? I mean, you basically you said "fuck off," you know, "fuck
him." Yeah, that was a trip. My God, I mean, now looking back, you know, you don't realize how young you are until later on, isn't it? You know, even now, to have gone through kind of those situations and still be, you know, in my early 20s, like still like feeling almost kind of old, to be honest, because of how many situations and kind of things I've gone through. But yeah, it felt like such a reflection, this song, of just reflecting back on what this is and how to move forth, honestly. And yeah, unfiltered, to say the least.
So unfortunate that anyone can have that kind of control over art. Someone else's arts. And that's a story as old as time right there. But
so tough.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ayanna Lee. I love seeing that you've come out the other side.
Yeah.
In such a big way on this too. You know,
it's crazy. It's just crazy to me, because even with Spike, it's like to have somebody, it was the first time I had someone really believe in me and wanna, like, to the extent of know like who you are and your voice matters, you know what I mean, beyond just like what I had been told before, which was like, you're too pretty to produce, like you can sing and you're pretty, but like that's about it, like you can sit there and do that, you know what I mean, you can't produce, you can't songwrite, you can't, like, let's not do that, let's not get into that, you know what I mean, like, just that's your place and that's your role. So to have somebody care about you, like for you, and want to amplify that, felt like, oh wow, I feel that freedom to continue that now.
You know what's even crazy about that, on top of everything that you said, is we have like 70 or 80 years of music history of that person always being the villain of the story and being wrong like every time.
Yeah, and look, like, you know, there's good sides and there's really, 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 really bad sides too. So it's just kind of like, I think finding a balance and hopefully what I hope to happen is, like, with 2026 and going forth, like allowing artists to have more of their voice injected into their work, whether they're on a label, whether they're not on a label, whether they have a big team or don't have a big team, like just allowing the artist to be and then just amplifying that, instead of this is who you're gonna be and, you know, do this to a T and don't even inject your own vibe into it, don't even try to, you know. I hope that there's more of that, and I think with social media people really want that.
Well, and look what happens when you do. You get a song like Highest to Lowest.
Yeah.
You know, like that sounds like it's still a collaboration, but it's also very much you in that song.
Yeah. I mean, it's my story, you know, and he really wanted me to tell my story in this song. And it just so happened to also be Sula's story in the scene. And it also happened to, you know, I really watched the movie and was like, this, I think, feels like it'll encapsulate the story and what Mr. King goes through and the whole family goes through, and that tumultuous journey of morals and coming out the other end of that. I felt like it encapsulated everything.
By the way, and also that second song, which I'd always called the gibberish song.
Oh my goodness.
That's
how wild is that?
I love that what you all did with that. Like the first time I heard it was like, wait a second. I know this, right? But this is new. So I had to go look it up, because I'd watched the video of the guy on the Italian TV show dancing around that a few times.
Yes.
What did that one? How did you all end up doing that one?
Spike calls me one day, like months and months after we shot the movie, and he calls me. He's like, "I have something for you. Like because I had posted me writing this other song. I wrote this song on Instagram, and he was like, oh, I didn't know you can do folky type of songwriting. And he's like, oh, okay, I got something for you. Check your email, check your email, check your email, check your email. I'm like, okay, okay. And then call me back, call me back. So I open my email, and it's that song. It's the gibberish song from Adriano. I forgot his last name. I can't quite pronounce it. And Prince of Colin, I think that's the name. I don't want to mispronounce.
We're going to call it the Americano joint, because I just called it the gibberish song is what I do. Yes,
we called it the Americano joint. That's Spike. But shout out to the originators of the song. What a incredible way to just like break every rule in the book. But he sent it to me. I watched and I was like, oh my God, this is like, it felt like 10 minutes long, the video. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is a long song. And I was like, what do you want me to do? What does he want me to do? I call him back and he's like, what do you think? What do you think? I'm like, yes, cool. Like, what are you thinking though? It's like, I want you to write American lyrics to it. There's no lyrics to it. And like, kind of figure it out. I was like, oh, okay, right, let me figure this out. It's like celebratory, it's like the end credit scene, like just give me something like that and write it on this. And I was like, okay, nice, I'm gonna figure this out. It took me a second because it was a lot, but I was so excited to get the opportunity to do the end credits song. I was like, oh, that's crazy.
Love that, Phil. And hearing you kind of do, you know, it's kind of a rock song on top of that. Like the theatrics of it, I still hear in a song like Love's Graveyard, you know, like you've had those seeds there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Seeing it, hearing them finally, you know, a bit more blossomed, I guess. You know?
Totally. No, that's crazy that you brought Love's Graveyard up as well, because that's definitely, I feel like, one of my favorites for sure. But yeah, it definitely has that feel and that kind of bluesy rock kind of folky sound. And I really do love that. And yeah, it was really fun to do. And Spike actually flew in when I was recording that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I love hearing him. I love hearing him. So what's the plan? Like there's been no album yet, right? Like, are we leading maybe to an album? Are you going to lean more into the acting at this point?
Man, I gotta say, I love that acting, man. I love being on set. That
when they say incredible. You get the bug, that's you, they mean it.
I got it, man. I got it. And I've always wanted to act, and it's weird. I think I manifested this because growing up, I always said it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen in a very strange way, and a director's gonna literally have to discover me. Like everyone knows, I've said this forever. A director's literally gonna have to pluck me, find me, and just like somehow see the vision. And you know what, it happened. And then I got to audition and it was amazing. So I think I know I want to act for sure. And do more stuff like that and do some great roles. And then I want to drop a project next year. And yeah, I'm kind of vowing to myself, like I'm writing all these things down. Like, okay, what do I need to get done? Because it's just me and my mom on the team. Like, it's a very small unit. So it's like, okay, how do you get to the next thing? And I'm someone who's so passionate about this that, yeah, I just want to keep going and keep doing more things. And thankfully, there's been a lot of support.
It's worked so far. And you keep proving that you're on the right path.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully I'm doing that.
That's what it looks like anyway. No, seriously. And the music's so good. The music is so good. I can't wait to hear what's next on this one. Congrats on everything that's happened this year.
Thank you so much. And congrats on that background. Let's just take it in.
Right there. You know, get the Prince, get the Bowie, get the REM.
Yes.
Just added the garbage over here. Yeah.
I love it. I'm here for it. No, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you for taking the time today.
Likewise. I appreciate it.
And my thanks to Ayanna Lee and to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe. to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics, classic alternative and indie. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Moby, the Cocteau Twins, Medium Build, Tom Tom Club, Diana Ross, Cake, Smile Smile, R.E.M., Ellie Ruth, Danny Kaye, Gorillaz, Suzanne Vega, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, De La Soul, Cheap Trick, Jeff Tweedy, Carol King, and my interviews with Audrey Nuna from K-Pop Demon Hunters, actress Claire Forlani, and Tatiana Ali. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. It's always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm like, Jesus, damn.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.